Necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace be abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. Because of the surpassing grace God has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Time for bountifulness. Bountifulness maybe isn't a word in your common everyday vocabulary, so I thought I'd look it up in the dictionary and help us out. A definition of bounty. Bounty, I think, is the name of a paper towel, but that doesn't really help me very much. But bounty, what does it mean? Well, liberality in giving. Something that is given liberally is considered a bounty, a reward, or an inducement, or a payment, especially one given by a government for acts deemed beneficial to the state, such as killing predatory animals. And I think there's still a bounty on some predatory animals, are there? Maybe not in California anymore. I don't think in California. I think we understand that use of the term. And a bounty hunter, we've heard that. If you like to watch Westerns, you're well familiar with what a bounty hunter is. Well, these are some examples of bounty. Now, bountiful just means abundant. It means giving liberally, giving with, like it says here, with cheerfulness. A cheerful giver, I think, is a bountiful giver. So that's the thought that I want us to focus on this morning. And I want to apologize if anyone's here and you're visiting. I don't usually preach on the subject of giving. I don't think I even mention it usually, except if we do receive an offering every day. But we don't expect those that are visitors to give. But those of us who are church family, who you feel like this is where God has led you, it is your, not only your responsibility, but your privilege to give, because God has promised that we can't outgive Him. And last week we looked at Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, and there it says that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that we will not be able to receive it. Do you want a blessing from God? I think any preacher who doesn't preach on tithing is neglecting a very important, not only neglecting a very important part of the Word of God, but he is robbing people of the blessing that God wants to give. What are some truths here that will motivate us down this road toward bountiful living? Bountiful living, of course, includes bountiful giving. Well, first of all, there is a bountiful gift. If you'll look with me at the scripture passage there. But what this is talking about, this is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth. And he is taking up a collection, I guess you could say. There was a need in the Jerusalem church, and so they needed to be encouraged to give toward the needs of their other brethren, the brethren in the Jerusalem church in this case. But I think that there are principles here that apply to all of our giving. Again, we are to give. I think the standard of Scripture is the tenth. That's one tenth. Now, that sounds like a lot, but doesn't the government even take more than that? And shouldn't God have more than the government? I think so. And God has promised, again, that He is going to supply us with all that we need. I've heard many testimonies of how, just from a purely business standpoint, Christian businessmen have begun giving to God and started with a tenth. And then they found that because God was blessing them, they gave more. And as they gave more, God blessed them even more. So it won't always translate that way, I don't believe. I don't believe necessarily that you're going to get back everything monetarily that you give to the Lord. But He has promised to bless you, to supply your needs, to open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not be able to receive it. So there is a bountiful gift spoken of here in verses 1 through 7. He talks about how they should get ready for if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared. We, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary, Paul writes in verse 5, to urge the brothers to visit you in advance to finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift and not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, he says. Whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So he is talking here, Scripture is, God is, really, through the Apostle Paul, speaking of a bountiful gift. He speaks of that later when he says, thanks to God, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And that's one of those Greek words that's really hard to capsulize in just one English word. It really can mean bountiful. God has given bountifully, hasn't He? And so, if we are thankful for what God has blessed us with, life, certainly salvation, those two things, shouldn't we return a portion of how He has blessed us to Him? There's a bountiful gift here. There's a foundation of that gift. Scripture speaks of that in, for example, in the previous chapter, Paul writes, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich. So that's the foundation of giving. Think about Jesus. Think about what He has done for you. Think about that cross. That's the foundation of giving. And there's a faith in giving. Giving takes faith. Paul speaks of that in verse 2 when he says, I know the eagerness, your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia, and that's where Corinth was, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. So Paul was north in Macedonia, trying to encourage other Christians in this responsibility. Again, it's part of the Word of God. And God wants to bless us. How He blesses us is through our faith. There's a foundation of that faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the faith itself. Giving takes faith. The psalmist said in Psalm 126, verse 6, He who goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. My father-in-law was a farmer in Illinois. Many times I noticed that as he put his crops in the field, it was sometimes all the savings that they had. They put it in the crop, and they would plant it. And some years you would get the rains, but some years the rains didn't come in a timely fashion. And I thought, how can he do this? How can he take? And he had a large family. My wife was just the last of the breed too, I guess. She was the seventh of seven children. There were a lot of hungry mouths around the table. But I thought, how could you have that much faith? I don't think I'd have enough faith to be a farmer. I guess that's why God didn't make me a farmer. But that takes faith. Well, that's like giving. Like giving. The Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters, and it shall return after many days. God has promised to reward us when we give. And there's a follow-through in that bountiful gift. They had, apparently, the Corinthians had apparently promised to the Lord and to Paul the gift that was needed. And I think they probably heard Paul preach on this same passage of Scripture that we looked at last week. One verse in that, Malachi 3:10, says, Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We must have the foundation. We must have Jesus in our lives. I think probably God will bless us just because we tithe. But that's not enough to get us to heaven. It's not going to be near enough. I mean, you could give 90%. It's not going to enough to get you into heaven. Salvation is by grace, the Bible says, and not of works. So we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about, do we want to be obedient to God? Do we want His blessing upon our lives? Then we remember what Christ did for us, and we give because we love Jesus, and we want others to know Him as Savior. And then there's a faith in giving. There's a follow-through, obviously, necessary. Or our faith is just empty. It's just words. So we need to follow through. That's what Paul was encouraging the Corinthians to do here. Not only is there a bountiful gift, though, that we can learn from, there is also here a bountiful grace. In verse 8, it says, And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Now there's that idea of bounty, abounding. You will abound in every good work. The source of that grace is, again, the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Because in 2 Corinthians 8:9 it says, You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. John, writing of the coming of Christ into the world, said that he is full of grace and truth, and we beheld His glory. And they saw that here was a man who was more than a man. He was a man who was the living example of the grace of God, because he was the God-man. Grace. Well, is not giving a grace? It is. Grace means unmerited favor. We don't do anything to merit God's grace. And so we share of that abundance, that of the grace that God has given us with the Lord. And then the Lord distributes it. Now, in Baptist churches, some of you, not all of you, come from Baptist churches. Generally speaking, we believe in the budgeting process, because we believe that, kind of in the old storehouse idea, where the gifts were brought into the storehouse, and the people decided how it would be, under God, how it would be distributed. And so we operate generally on that mode. We believe that it is sharing the bounty that God has given us. And then it is distributed to missions. Every good budget ought to include missions. Missions includes evangelism, wanting other people to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And every budget that we have includes missions, or it ought to include missions, and ours does. So when you give, a portion of that goes To missions. It goes to helping other people know about Jesus. A portion of that goes to ministry, which is what happens here in our local church family. The salaries, certainly. Sunday school and operating the different ministries that the church provides. And then there's maintenance, where you have a building. God has blessed us with a building. It hasn't fallen yet. Pray that it doesn't. I don't think it will. It looks like it's pretty firm up there, the ceiling. Some of you may have good foundation. Some of you have probably said, when I come to church, the ceiling's going to fall in. Well, it hadn't fallen in. So that prophecy wasn't fulfilled. But we have a building to maintain. We have a property. We have utilities to pay and things like that. So ministry, missions, and maintenance, I think, could sum up what ought to be in a good budget. The sufficiency of that bountiful grace. The source is the Lord Jesus Christ. The sufficiency, spoken of in 2 Corinthians 12:9, in a little later in this same epistle. You may recall the background of this. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, he said. And he prayed 3 times that God would remove it. Now, it wasn't a wife. Some suppose that Paul, this is proof that Paul was married. Not many wives are thorn in the flesh, more the other way around, I would say. But no, I don't think he was talking about a person here. You may have someone that's kind of a thorn in your flesh. But no, I think he was talking about a physical malady that he had, illness. And he said he prayed 3 times that God would remove it, that he would heal him. But then the third time, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul said, "Gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Well, there's that idea of sufficiency in this grace that Christ has given. It is a sufficient grace. Now, he might not, like Paul, he might not give us everything that we want. And I think Paul would have said, it was better that I didn't, because I wouldn't have known the grace of Christ. The psalmist said, "It was good for me that I had been afflicted, because I learned to trust in you," just paraphrasing what he said. But we need to realize that Christ has promised his sufficient grace. And then there's a service in that grace. Again, we're talking about giving as a grace. There's a source of that, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sufficiency. He has promised that he is going to meet our needs, hasn't he? Philippians 4:19, and others say that he will meet all of our needs. And then there's a service. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, the Bible said. And I think the more we become, the closer we become to Jesus, then the more we become like him. And we begin to think more about others and how we can minister, how we can serve others, how we can give as Jesus gave. Do you remember the last night that Jesus was on this side of the tomb? It says that he stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, "As I have done to you, so should you do for one another." There is service in that bountiful grace. One of the ways we serve Christ, one of the ways we follow in his footsteps, is by giving. Well, there is a bountiful gift, a bountiful grace, but also a bountiful glory. Look with me at verses 11 and following. And I want to just read it again. Paul writes, "You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Now he's talking about how when they give and are obedient to give, others will thank God for them. It'll be a kind of a concert of praise, if you will, of thanksgiving for God's supply. So in that bountiful glory, there's praises, but there's also prayer. It says this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because the service which you approved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. Do you want to be prayed for? I think we do. And realize how important are the prayers of others. Well, when we give, some of that comes back to us in the form of prayers. Praises to God, prayers for us, because of the surpassing grace, it says, God has given to you. And then, summed up in a person, that bountiful glory. In that last verse, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, he's not talking about a monetary gift here. I heard somebody say Jesus. It's Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is that greatest gift. And so when you think of all that Jesus has done for you, how He came out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe, and He took upon us His sins, and He marched up that hill to Mount Calvary and let Himself be crucified. He did that for you and me. He gave the greatest gift, didn't He? So let that inspire us. Let that motivate us to capture the joy of bountiful living through bountiful giving.